Good morning to everyone. Happy New Year to you. Hope your New Year started out well. Praise the Lord that we're meeting together. Thank you for being here. Psalm 121, verse 1 starts out by saying, I lift my eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? Or some translations, from where my help comes from. But both are answered, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He is the creator, we are his creatures, and how good it is as we start a new year and we think about God eternal that we lift our chin up and look to the heavens. Our help doesn't come from eye level, and it certainly doesn't come from looking down. It comes from looking up to God, the maker of heaven and earth. Let's think about that for a minute before we start our singing together. Lord, your word goes on to say in that psalm that you will not sleep, nor will you slumber. You will not miss a thing. You see it all. And we thank you for that. Indeed, even for 1 second, if you slept or you slumbered, all would be in disarray. But in your perfection, your holiness, your eternality, it's impossible for you to do that. So when all the promises that are accompanied in your word for us are followed up and we learn about them, we know that we have nothing to fear. We know that we can trust you, and we know that this year is in your hands, and we are in your hands. So help us, God, we pray this morning to think about that for the year, but think about that for this morning as well. Thank you for the precious souls gathered here, both in our church auditorium and online with us. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand together and sing.
Our efforts stand, oh, in the season.
Let's be seated and we'll pray together. May this be our goal this day, this year. All glory be to Christ. We are not subjects of glory in and of ourselves, separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. He and He alone is holy, and we know that from your word, Father, and from what you have revealed to us. And we pray as we think about this year, again, as John the Baptist has said in the past, he must increase and I must decrease. Everything that is beautiful and wonderful and awesome and holy, all glory be to Christ. May that be the theme of our day today. We love you. Thank you, Father, for this day in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. humbling song to think about, a new song for me. Thank you, Joel. God is sovereign. He's in control. What can happen to me? Let's stand again and sing. Thank you, Father, for being our wonderful, merciful Savior.
Christ, our risen Lord. Quick announcement. January is a huge month for us. We have our finance committee meeting, our business meeting, snow camp, a lot going on, a lot to pray about. Just to remind you, let's go to before the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, creator of the universe, all powerful, all sovereign, all wonderful, we thank you so much for your gift of love we find in Jesus Christ, your Son, who died on our behalf on the cross of Calvary so that we could have eternal life. Lord, we ask you and beseech you as a people that our knowledge of you is true, that we have accepted Christ as our Savior. Give us that confidence through your Spirit and through your Word, that you have glorified yourself in us by changing us, translating us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, and we thank you for that. We pray that you would sanctify us each day as we pray, as we study your Word, as we fellowship together. Let no moment be wasted in your sanctifying us, conforming us to the image of your beloved Son. Father, the world has lost the knowledge of you, and the knowledge of you is found in your Word, is found in creation, it's also found in us who believe. May we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of God with people, for they are starving for that knowledge that will redeem and give peace. And we thank you, Father, for that change in us. So empower us. You said, lo, I will be with you even to the end of the age. We have confidence that you'll never leave us or forsake us. So this year would be the year of witness, the year of testimony, the year of service, the year of love for our community, our neighbors, our friends. Father, we ask that you restore relationships. We know that reconciliation is needed. Even our points of faith can become things that separate us from our loved ones. We ask, Father, you've given us the ministry of reconciliation. You've given us the word of reconciliation. Now may we make peace with our relationships. May we forgive. If we're not forgiving people, we ask, Father, that you give us a heart of forgiveness. We are to love others as you have loved us. We are to forgive others as you have forgiven us. We are to forbear others as you have forborne us. So we pray that you do a great work of grace and mercy in our lives, to be peacemakers in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that this new year we'd study our Bible more. You would draw us to the Scripture, that we would allow you to teach us through the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, help us to spend more time with you, more quality time with you in your Word and in prayer. and in fellowship with others. Father, we expect in our lives to be changed because we're not completely conformed to the image of Christ. Yet we'll stand in glory with you one day, but our focus is each and every day, moment by moment, spending time with you and being changed by your living word. Growth is change, and we need to be changed. And we ask, Father, that we'd be good disciples, that you give us an ear of a disciple so we would know how to sustain a weary one. There are plenty of weary ones out there, Lord, that need a word of encouragement. Let us be that bearer of a word of encouragement. Father, we do pray for our missionaries who are around the world. We pray also that you'd meet their needs. We pray also for the persecuted church around the world. We pray that you would fortify them and strengthen them in the power of your Spirit. We pray, Father, they would witness to their captives, their persecutors. We pray that their captives and persecutors could be saved. Father, we think about these things. We pray for our own country. Persecution could easily come into our own country. When we pray, Father, we will be ready. We'll be fortified in your word to stand on truth. Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. Your Son prayed. We pray that same prayer. Sanctify us in truth, for your word is truth. Lord, give us the hearts of compassion for you and for others. To fulfill your great commandment to love you with all our heart, soul, and might, and our neighbors as ourselves. We pray for those in our church, Father, who are facing very difficult trials that create a lot of fear and anxiety. But we are to be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make our requests be known to you. And your peace that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let us experience that peace through Jesus Christ and through prayer. Fear not, for you are with us even to the end of the age. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
There's a place.
Thank you, Anne and Rebecca, for leading us in worship. And it's good to see you here. You know, we're thankful you're here, and we don't take that for granted at all. As the new year starts, sometimes we think, what's this year going to look for me, and what am I going to do about it? And maybe you're here this morning because, you know, you're thinking, I know I want God to be a bigger part of my life. I know I want him to lead me. And I believe that church may be a part of the picture for me. If our church is part of the picture for you this year, praise the Lord. And if you're new here this morning, you've never been with us before, we'd love to meet you back in our connection corner. We have a gift for you, and I'd love to get some more information to see how we can better serve you. And as far as resolutions go, we're resolved this year to do our best to make this your home. If we see you next week and then the week after, we get to know you more, you get to know us, and we want you to see a loving family that loves you in return, and this would be a home for you. So thank you. And regardless, visitor, not visitor, we are so glad you're here this morning. Let's stand, and we'll sing the first verse of this hymn. It's in your hymn book there, if you can grab your hymn book. 534, Some Golden Daybreak. Verse 1, and then we'll sing Face to Face.
Some golden daybreak, battles are won.
Let's be seated. Thank you. Let's go ahead and bow in prayer. Father, may this be our prayer this morning, that we know for sure we will see you face to face. And in that wonderful reality, that we would rejoice in it, that it would change our lives as we think about this eternal reality. What does eternity look like? We pray, Father, you'd help us to understand that more as we study your word this morning. Thank you so much that we can gather in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bibles, and we're going to go to Psalms this morning. Start out in Psalm 121 and talk about eternity. So Friday night, how many of you stayed up till midnight to see the new year in? I see a lot of hands. Don't be falling asleep on me this morning, adults. Not the kids, the adults. 22 years ago, there was a January 1st that came upon us, and 22 years ago, we were dealing with something called Y2K. How many of you remember Y2K? All right, I see a lot of hands here. If you're a child or even a teenager this morning, this was before you were born even, and which is hard to believe, isn't it, adults? 22 years ago, looking at something called Y2K, at the time that that was happening, I was actually working at Leprino Foods, and my shift ended at 11:30, so a half an hour to go before Y2K, the official 12 o'clock midnight, would strike. And if you don't know what it's about, we all were wondering if when the time changed and it started with a brand new century, if things were going to go awry in the technology world with computers, as they reset, if things would shut down. I remember that night at Leprino Foods, there were a bunch of bosses that came in waiting to make sure that everything was going to go right on so that we could continue making cheese the next day. In Sydney, Australia, they were celebrating. And in their celebration, as the fireworks went off and the smoke cleared, what was revealed on the Sydney Harbour Bridge, but the word and the picture before you, eternity. Eternity. Well, what's this all about? Why in the world would they have the word eternity in bright lights on their bridge? Let me talk to you about a man named Arthur Malcolm Stace. Arthur Stace was born on February 9, 1884, in a Balmain slum to a family of alcoholics. He grew up in poverty, received little education, and at 12 was made a ward of the state. By age of 15, he had been in jail for the first of many visits, and like his four siblings, he was a confessed alcoholic. After joining up and serving in the 19th Battalion in France during World War I, Stace returned to Sydney partially blind, unemployed, and still an alcoholic. On August the 6th of 1930, drawn into St. Barnabas' Church on Broadway by the promise of a free meal, Stace encountered something that changed his life, a sermon from Archdeacon R.B.S. Hammond that saw Stace kneel down and become a Christian. From that day, Stace gained control over his drinking and began seeking work, obtaining a job on the sand mills at Marlborough, earning £3 a week. A few months later, in Burton Street Baptist Church at Darlinghurst, he heard the preacher, Reverend John Ridley, proclaim, "I wish I could shout eternity through the streets of Sydney. Eternity, eternity, eternity." Stace later said, "He repeated himself and kept shouting the word eternity, and his words were ringing through my brain as I left the church. Suddenly, I began crying, and I felt a powerful call from the Lord to write the word eternity. I had a piece of chalk in my pocket, and I bent down there and wrote it. Funny thing is that before I wrote, I could hardly have spelled my own name. I had no schooling, and I couldn't have spelled eternity for 100 quid. But it came out smoothly in beautiful copper plate script. I couldn't understand it, and I still can't. It began a habit that became a legend. For 35 years, Stace rose at 5 a.m. to wander the streets of Sydney and chalk the word eternity on footpaths, train station entrances, and anywhere else he could think of. It's estimated that he wrote the word around 500,000 times. Eternity. When you hear that word, what does it make you think of? How does it strike you? Is it something that we're looking forward to? Is it an unknown reality of, I don't know, but it kind of scares me? Is it something that may seem kind of fake in our mind? Like, there's no such thing as eternity. At some point when we die, it's over. Is it something that makes you think? Well, for several decades, Arthur Stace caused many people in Australia to stop and to think about the word eternity. And we're going to think about that from a believer's perspective this morning as we hit the Psalms here. There's many times in the book of Psalms that God talks about to us the word eternity or the word forever. If you look up the origin of the word, you're seeing a word that is based upon the concept of continuance. And for us as beings in a timed place here on earth, with times ourselves, a birth date and a death date, it's hard to think about the word continual as a word that goes on and on without an end. But with God, who is expressed in the Hebrew as God eternal, El Olam, one that continues on forever and ever, no beginning, no end, he gives us the word eternity as an understanding that he made us in his image, and in that image, we ourselves are eternal creatures. Our eternity either is one that leads us with him forevermore or separated from him forevermore. And so much of Scripture is all about that. Taking a look at Psalm 121, let's go through 4 points together this morning on God and his eternity and how that's played out in our lives. First of all, God's eternal protection. 2 shorter psalms I'll read to you this morning. This was the first one. Let's just read the whole psalm together. We started this out this morning in our meditation. Psalm 121, verse 1 says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Thank you, Lord, for that. We praise you for that. You know, you think about this, and I had to ask myself as I was thinking about this psalm, what if we came from the opposite perspective? And looking at verse 7, it says, the Lord will protect you from all evil. Well, wait a minute. Do you feel that you've ever experienced evil in your life? Whether you were the evildoer or evil was done to you? The psalmist, in this case, is anonymous, but he would know Israel's history. He would know what happened in the days of Moses in Egypt and the days of Judges and the days of Saul. And in the future, we would know what happened with Israel in the days of the captivity and nations like Assyria and Babylon. Or think about Job. Did he experience evil in life? Yeah. God pretty much almost let Satan have his way with Job. How can the psalmist say the Lord will protect you from all evil? Have we seen evil in our own personal lives? I'm sure you have. I'm sure people have done things that have been nasty, mean, wicked, or evil to you. We've seen it in our lives, and we see it more and more as we live in a gradually decaying nation. Evil abounds. So how can the psalmist say evil will not harm us? Even Jesus himself had to deal with wickedness and evil done to him. Would you look at verse 7? It's an echo from verse 5,
Verse 5 says, the Lord is your keeper. And then 7 says, he will keep your soul. Our sense of protection often is on my body and my body alone. However, Scripture says he will keep your soul. Jesus says later on in Matthew chapter 10, 28, don't fear the one who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but fear rather him who can cast both body and soul to hell. Who am I? Am I just a body, or am I body and soul? And what about my soul can man do to me? When God says he will keep our soul, that's a promise that you can take to the bank. Indeed, he keeps our souls, and no matter what happens to my body from this day forth, my soul is protected by him. He protects me. I've got nothing to fear. Often, because of our focus that we are bodies, and often we forget about our souls, or mankind forgets that we even have a soul, we tend to go a direction that we will do anything to avoid pain, don't we? We think often, I believe, that God protects us, and in that protection, he would not want me to experience bodily pain. So whatever may cause me to feel pain, I'm going to avoid because God would not want that for us. That's not true, though, is it? Scripture doesn't say that in this world that we live in, we are going to bodily, right now as we're living, forego any hurt or pain or evil done to us. But Scripture does focus on the soul, and our responsibility with that is to make sure that we are not running from pain and suffering. Our soul is always protected. We can't be touched by the devil. Amen? God is our God, and our souls belong to him, no matter what happens to the body. And so many of these scripture writers had to deal with severe bodily persecution. But they knew their soul was protected. They knew that one day that they would be in heaven, where soul and body would be put back together, as we're looking forward to in the resurrection one day for us, and that we would experience no more evil anymore. May God help us to understand that we are so much more than just the body. Our bodies are important to him. He will resurrect the body of the believers unto eternal life in a whole uncursed body, but it's our souls that he will keep until then. We can trust him in that. Secondly, flip over to Psalm 23, if you need to. Psalm 23, you know, it's funny, I do have it memorized, but about the time I feel like quoting it in front of you all, I'm afraid it will leave. Psalm 23. God has an eternal place for us. This psalm is a wonderful psalm. We love it. And it's, in a way, it's personally fascinating to me because my favorite professor I had in college preached his own funeral. Yes, he preached his own funeral. He preached Psalm 23 before he died, had it recorded, and then he spoke to the people after he had passed through this recording. Very neat. So Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Once again, we say thank you, Lord. Thank you for this psalm. And thank you that you have an eternal place for us. Our family loves vacations. Think about vacations. In the beginning of this year, we talked about, I think one of the kids asked me, where do you think we're going to go to vacation this year? And the answer is, I don't know at this point, but we love our vacations. And I remember a couple vacations in particular as I was thinking about the Lord and about eternity, of finally being able to sit down and rest. Things were quiet. I could do basically whatever I wanted to do that would be good for myself. And I remember years ago, this was a vacation even before we had kids and things were nice and quiet, and Lisa and I were just spending some quiet time together in our hotel room, thinking, oh, now what? I'm in this happy place, and I'm feeling relaxed. I'm really thankful for it, glad this can happen, but I don't feel fulfilled. I thought by the time I finally took this vacation, I was going to feel completely fulfilled, but wait a minute, no, I don't. And this place, as wonderful as it is, we've got the beach nearby and everything, and it's quiet. We can do pretty much what we want to do when we want to do it. I'm not feeling what I thought I was going to fulfill. And God reminded me at that time that you're never going to feel that this place is your home. There's only one eternal place. And even the so-called heavens on earth, there is really no heaven on earth. There's earth and there's heaven. And we were made for one place as believers, an eternal place to be with the Lord forever in heaven. And in Psalm 23, the shepherd is leading his sheep, both now and forever. He is leading us to greener pastures today to one day bring us to the pasture field of heaven. The wonderful place where there is no more tears, no more crying, no more suffering. It is all gone. That is the place where we seek. Verse 6, he talks about the house of the Lord forever. Don't picture in yourself just a church building, though as we meet together today, God in his grace meets with us. That is the now. But the forevermore, the house of the Lord is where the place of the Lord, where the Lord is at. We will be in his presence forever in this eternal place in which we know as heaven. Praise the Lord for that. I ask us, if a visitor was to come to your house today after church to have lunch with you, and they walked in your home, would, as they looked around, would they see a place that would suggest this world or this house is your permanent home, and then when life is over, that's it? Or maybe if they look around, would they say, I can tell that this is the house or the home where you live, but I can really tell that you're not seeing this as your permanent dwelling place. You ever think about that? I didn't think about that until a few days ago as I was studying through this. What does my home suggest if you walk in? Does it suggest one that I'm trying to grab all I can now for the sake of the here and now, trying to build bigger barns, the scripture says, so that I can put stuff in it because eat, drink, and marry, for tomorrow we die? Or if you walked in, would you see a place that says, hey, it's nice to have a nice home. It's good to have nice things, but this world is not my home. Amen? I'm just a passing through, as the hymn says. Just something to think about. May God help us to understand that as nice as our places and things can be here, it's all corrupt. It'll all be destroyed. It'll all rot. It'll all fall to pieces eventually. My eternal place is in with him in heaven. Flip back a couple pages, Psalm 16. Again, many places in the psalm that use the word forever or forevermore, and several places we're not going to turn to this morning, but often associated with God and his loving kindness. I think that'd be a neat thing to study out as well, God's loving kindness connected to eternity. I want to read to you 16, 8 through 11. These verses are also echoed by Peter in Acts chapter 2. I have set the Lord continually before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. God's eternal pleasures. In that context of Acts chapter 2, Peter's talking about Jesus' resurrection and calling upon the hearers to repent. And praise the Lord, they did. And praise the Lord, that is the beginning of the church as well. David, writing in Psalm 16, predates the church, of course, and he is understanding by The inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that in God's presence is fullness of joy, and the right hand of God, there are pleasures forever, forevermore. So when you think of the word pleasure, what do you think? What have you learned about pleasure in your life? I think for me, often pleasure has been associated in the past with a negative connotation. And sometimes as you study scripture out, you realize that indeed it does talk about not enjoying or embracing the pleasures of sin. Spoken of, commanded against clearly that we are not to embrace sin and that those pleasures are for a short time. But doesn't it depend upon what we choose to pleasure in? The word pleasure itself means delight or sweet. And you think about Psalm 119, David, also the writer, and he talks about in that psalm many times over how he takes pleasure or how he delights in God's word, his commands, his statutes, precepts, testimonies, how he just takes great delight, great sweetness, and great pleasure in God's word. And because he did, it transformed his life and gave us the psalms that we have. The pleasures of a believer who loves the Lord, delights in his word, and finds sweetness in God are not wrong pleasures. They're not pleasures that are selfish. They're pleasures that we can rejoice in and often have them here on earth as believers with one another. Everything good comes from the Lord. Everything. Nothing that is not good cannot come from the Lord. Everything that is good comes from the Lord, and the pleasures that we take joy in the Lord is pleasing to him. It's a good thing. So when I think about it in that context, we think about eternity, and I'm asking you, what are you looking forward to doing in eternity? What do you believe that you will find pleasurable in eternity? And just think outside the box for a minute of just the presence, which we'll get to, the presence of God. But what are you looking forward to doing in eternity? Maybe a forever pleasure will be reunited with your family, the spouse that you lost, your parents, your grandparents, maybe your kids, maybe a teacher in your life, maybe your best friend. If they're a believer, you're a believer. Eternal pleasures will be sharing eternity with him or her forever. I'm looking forward to exploring the great unknown of outer space. I'm looking forward to seeing those universes, which are plural, which are who knows how many, and Christ taking us on the grandest of tours, his creation. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to not having gravity be a problem. I know our youngest kid, he's talked a lot growing up. He's like, I want to fly. So do I, Landon. I'm looking forward to having nothing that's going to keep me down and being able to fly. I'm looking forward to understanding better how things work that I have no clue. I'm looking forward to meeting great saints of the past, like Job and David and Paul and Jeremiah, and ones that are heroes to us from Scripture. We're going to take great delight in that, great pleasure, great sweetness in the things that we were made to do. Guess what? I've got good news for you this morning. God's eternal pleasures is not uncountless time of sitting on a cloud with a harp. Maybe I'll play harp a couple years in heaven on a cloud. I have no idea. But that picture of, oh boy, 10,000 years later, and I'm still sitting on a cloud with a harp strumming along. Heaven is so much more better than that. Heaven is so much more complete than that. Eternity, to be in the place where God has always destined his loved ones to be, will be full of pleasures forevermore, full of the things that we could only dare dream about, but one day will be reality when we're in his presence. And that's the final point. Go to Psalm 41. Eternity. It's God's protection, it's God's place, it's God's pleasure, and it's his presence. Let me just read verse 11, 12, and 13, chapter 41. By this I know that you are pleased with me, because my enemy does not shout in triumph over me. As for me, you uphold me in my integrity, and you set me in your presence forever. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Set me in your presence. Do you want to get more literal with me for that for a minute here? It means appoint me before your very face. Like face to face, like we sang about. Like standing before God himself. Not my presence, you're way a mile out there and there's millions and millions of believers and I see you out there. Hi, Mike, how you doing way down there? God is omnipresent. He is unlimited. And we get to stand before him face to face in his eternal presence. Does that sound good to you? I don't have to hang my head in shame. I get to look at him in the face and tell him every pure, wonderful, holy thing that he puts into my mind and heart, to tell him back in return, thank you that I am here with you forever and ever. Could we ever have heaven without God? It can't be. In fact, the definition of hell is separation from God. So the definition of being in heaven with him is being in his presence forever. Would you want eternity away from God? Can you picture, as we try to think about what eternity looks like, can you picture being away from God forever and ever and ever? If that comes to our mind, I want to encourage us to ask ourselves, do we really know Jesus Christ as Savior? If we want forever and all the nice things, but we don't want his presence, do we really know Christ as Savior? The one who knows and loves the Lord wants to be with God forever and ever. There is no greater place. He is the reason there is a place and protection and purpose. He is the reason that there are pleasures forevermore. He is everything to us, and he created us so that we would be fulfilled only in him. Peter went from a place where it was, when Jesus first came to him and he was on the boat, he was, get away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. And then he came to love Christ, but before Christ died, when Christ told Peter, you're going to deny me, Peter said, I will never leave you. And he did deny Christ. God forgave him. And from Acts chapter 1 on, we read about a Peter who knows that, God, you will never leave me. In fact, he says in his epistle, chapter 5, 10 through 11, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered for a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And Peter's a brother of ours that is in the presence of the Lord forever and ever. So when we think about eternity, let me suggest some applications here. How can we picture this reality of this continuance? It's really hard. It's hard enough to think about forward forever, let alone think about God, who is forever and ever, both forward and always was forever and ever. It's just something that blows your mind. We cannot possibly in our human mind comprehend this fully. But to think about a few things with me. Think about the eternal line. The eternity line. How many of you have had a lesson or taught a lesson where you have drawn a line on a board and said that an inch of this is our life here on earth, and then that line represents eternity? And if we were to start on this side of the stage and make like a red mark, an inch was our life on earth, and take a marker and go across the whole auditorium one time, and then maybe an inch down again and again and again and again, that would cover the concept but not the reality of eternity. That line never ends. It just goes on and on and on. So what am I living for? Am I living for that inch, or am I living for that continual line that always goes on and on? John Newton in Amazing Grace, verse 4, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. his attempt at one verse in that great song of Amazing Grace at thinking about eternity. 10,000 years is a drop in the bucket. Forever and ever is a reality for all believers. And then the happiest Christians, they are living for eternity. Think about the happiest believers you know. I can guarantee that if you talk and stopped and talked with them about what they think about often, they would be thinking about Christ above and how he saved us and how we will be with him forever and ever. Are you, am I amongst the happiest Christians that live here? Do we feel often mopey or life's given us a hard hand or just feeling down or downcast? Our face is literally looking down at the ground instead of our face looking up to the one who says, one day you will see me face to face. Which is it? What are we looking for? And finally, how does eternity impact your 2022? Maybe Christ will come today. Praise the Lord if that happens. Maybe he won't come for another year. Maybe it'll be beyond this year. As you think about the forever in his presence, how does that impact your year? I'm praying with you. You pray with me, please, that we will be thinking about what matters. Scripture says that the things that we can see are temporary, but the unseen things are eternal. God, help us to see the unseen. Help us to live by faith and not by sight. Help us to live for what matters. Why would I trade my short little life now and do what I want to do and embrace the self for eternity with you? No way. No way. By God's grace, may he help us live for eternity. Joel, if you want to come up, we're going to end in a song this morning. And it's a song that we haven't sung in a long time, but I was humming it the whole week as I was preparing for the sermon. The song with eternity's values in view. How many remember that song? Joel, you want to play through it once, and then we'll end by singing it. Thank you. Sing that song together. With eternity's values in view, Lord. With eternity's values in view, may I do each day's work for Jesus. With eternity's values. If you're here this morning and you're not sure of your eternity, we want you to know as a church, dear one, we love you and we are here to help you through God's work, God's word, understand Jesus Christ. He is eternal. He's the one that died and came to life again so that we could be with him forever. We are willing to talk to you. Yes, we want to talk to you. Please talk to us. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we could look in your word, how the Psalms talk about eternity, and your scripture much more together with the Psalms talks about the most important thing we need to think about. Help us to live for you this year and to live with eternity's values in view. It's about the forever. It's not about the temporary. It's not about my life now. It's about forever. And thank you that in Christ we can be with you forever. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week. Have a good beginning to your year.